Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain. This is episode number 61.5, and the title will be Predatory Elites and Human Herd Animals. Now, one of my favorite books was by Lothrop Stoddard when he talked about it was called The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman. And in his book, he was talking about how you had a difference between, say, democracy and the notions of equality, and the notions between aristocracy, which is supposed to be rule of the best. And he asked for a neo-aristocracy. He was a eugenicist. He believed that a society or civilization would last forever as long as it provided superior men and the overall population wasn't degenerate. Now, right now, on these end times, before the Great Tribulation takes place, what we have happening now is a degenerate population and also a parasitic and predatory elites who do not care anything about the population over which they rule. All they care to have is power. And if they have a degenerate population, that allows them as degenerate rulers who don't care for that population to continue to rule. And what we see in the Arab world is these dictators holding on, well, being overthrown in the case of Mubarak, and right now, in the case of Gaddafi, who at least, for all his faults, is not exactly a degenerate dictator, but a dictator who intends to maintain power. And recently, they passed a no-fly law or rule against them, and they're putting their thumbs on the basis of the rebels. Now, in hours of Great Tribulation past, and, the current one, I have talked about how it doesn't really matter when the masses, as the Bolsheviks like to say, go ahead and rule, because essentially a degenerate population is going to create a new degenerate elite. That's why we need a Great Tribulation to purge not only the elites, the parasitic elites and predatory Jews and Shabbos Wiggers, which is bringing this nation to ruin, but also you need 90% of the Wigger herd animals to die in this Great Tribulation, along with all the Muds and the Jews and the rest of the cruds. So what I'm advocating is not so much a revolution, but rather a Great Tribulation, a great collapse, a great die-off, because what good does a revolution do if all it consists of bringing a new batch of parasites and predators aboard a declining general population? Now, over in Japan, they had a declining or worthless or parasitic elite, and as a result, they've had two decades of financial failure and financial collapse to where they have not grown more than 1%, if that, a year. You have a lot of people now, as a result of it, out of work, aging, declining, the population is aging, declining. And what the Japanese need is new leadership from among their own kind, not the failed policies of the post-World War II season. These plants should have been decommissioned and using at the time Japan's engineering knowledge or anything like, something like that, they should have put up more safe, more working, more useful plants. But instead, what they did is that they just went along with business as usual. And when this earthquake that they had planned came, along came a tidal wave. And it pretty well destroyed a bunch of plants. Second of all, they should have spread them plants out more so they would not have this particular problem at the time. rather than having one plant go bad and then lead to radiation, which would lead to a cascading failure with, you know, with reactors number 2, 3, and 4, and rather than have a problem with spent fuel rods being stored at that location, possibly what they should have done is come to a arrangement with the Chinese to store them in Western China. Store them in the Gobi Desert, where no one lives. And then put those fuel rods in a place where they wouldn't, where they would just simply decay, but there would be nobody there to, to really be affected, other than a bunch of scorpions and, kangaroo rats or whatever they have there. Folks, what you have is you have people doing what comes easy. You have a predatory elite, a parasitic elite, which is not doing what is set up to be as an aristocracy to furnish good leadership. And you have the same thing here in this country as well. You have a bunch of Jews running things, and over it they have Shabbos wiggers acting as the front men, the media men, and essentially everything is declining, everything is decaying here in the Zogland. But at the same time, you have masses and masses of wiggers who are declining in proportion to the non-white population, which is pouring in, and as a result, the situation is hopeless. Not serious, hopeless. What is necessary is a great tribulation to go ahead and take care of this particular problem. Now, it was on Sunday the 17th, we had the live section on TeamSpeak, and first we'll have the interview by Russ Walker, then we'll have whatever else came up on chat, and then we'll have at the very end me reading aloud certain sections by Lothrop Stoddard talking about why societies and why civilizations collapse. But unlike Lothrop Stoddard, I'm not calling for a revolt. I'm not calling for a revolt by the Christian identity or the white nationalist movement. What I'm talking about is letting nature take its course, because our white nationalist movement is diegetic. It's dysfunctional. It's essentially a movement turd. That's what a bowel movement produces. It produces a movement turd. And that's the name of this particular show. So folks, just hang on just a second, and the very next music break will be the signature song for the movement turd, and especially number 61.5. Hail Victory.
Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away. Stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Shakers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long stone, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Wicked's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Feel the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop.
Greetings, Zogling Wigger and Manzer Ass Clowns across the food to Nutted Zog Plain. Yeah, in the open air coast to coast nut house is Zog Babylon, of course, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few remnant, found remnant of the house of Israel. Greetings. This is episode number 61.5 of the Movement Turd. And I'm not quite sure what to call it. I had a name when I was in the kitchen. It's something about how criminal elites don't seem to know how to keep things running. Now, I've been looking over the big to-do in Japan. And, folks, this is a big to-do. You have what is now the world's third largest economy. It used to be the second economy, but it made a stumble because they bailed out their banksters. And I was looking at what was going on in Ireland. They bailed out their banksters. And it seems that all these criminal elites are owned, in many cases, by the Jews or by Shabbos wiggers who will support taking everything off the top. And as a result, there's not any margin. There's no safety margins left anymore. And these elites have shown themselves to be idiots. They're not able to keep things running. And they're not keeping things running. Things are falling apart under their watch. And I guess I'll go ahead and record Anderson Pooper right now. From what I gather, he's saying that the UN approved of all necessary measures in Libya. And what it boils down to is that they're going to shoot down some of Gaddafi's planes or whatever in order to keep him from finishing off the Benghazi rebels in the eastern port of Libya. And I talked about that on last night's Hour of Great Tribulation, that Libya was pretty well cobbled together out of three separate major population centers, which was the eastern portion around Benghazi. Okay, it looks like we have Russ. We have Russ going ahead and calling.
Hey.
Hey, hello Russ, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay, well I got you. I was starting the movement turret without you. And essentially we're talking about how the criminal elites, the Shabbos wiggers and the Jews don't seem to be doing a very good job of running things anymore, do they?
I don't know. They seem to run the world pretty well as far as I'm concerned, but I can't wait for the breakdown.
Well, it seems to me you have a bunch of breakdowns. I'm looking at a helicopter flying over these nuclear reactors. And it looks like you could have just had rain fall to better effect. I mean, this water did not, this water was not lowered. It didn't actually accomplish anything. You got to wonder, why don't they just simply armor up with lead, the very bottom or the pilot seat or something like that, and then just lower actual water instead of dropping it like, on crop dusting. Because it looks like it's having about the same effect as just crop dusting. It don't look like it's having any effect at all. But, Russ, what I'm seeing is that it seems to me that the criminal elites that run us are not doing a very good job of making sure that the country stays well-fed or well-housed. The population is not doing very good. You have these nuclear power plants out of control to where, you know, it looks like unless there's a rapid change, some of these will actually melt down and radioactive contaminate a bunch of land area the Japanese do not have a whole awful lot of. It's a rather densely populated area, and it looks, I've been reading that essentially their good old boy network in Japan have been allowing these people to make a number of safety cutbacks and all that, so you no longer have a safety factor of at least two.
Well, from what I understand, most of the power plants in Japan are 25 to 35 years old, first of all.
Yeah.
The second thing, this earthquake was a level 9. This is phenomenal. This is well above, I don't know what they were designed for, but they probably were designed for a 7. A 9.
Well, they said it was the biggest earthquake in Japan
ever in modern
history, as far as they know of, since they've been raising it. It was the fifth largest in history ever.
It was behind
the Chilean earthquake, and it was behind the Alaskan earthquake. But you gotta understand, in the Alaskan earthquake, you didn't have, I mean, what got affected? A few people, a few Eskimos, you know, a few Indians, a few moose.
Well, wait a second. I've been in Valdez, and that Alaskan earthquake was a Good Friday, 1964 earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And, it made tremendous, it was in the Prince William Sound down there, so it wasn't quite, there were a couple white people running around there, believe me. But, it was a phenomenal, I wasn't there, of course. I lived with a boy when I used to live in Anchorage. A man there, he said he was thrown to the ground, cars were turned upside down. I've seen pictures, we're up there. See, in Alaska they have what's called a thixotropic saw. It's a non-Newtonian saw, it's like ketchup. When you shake it, when you shock it, it liquefies. And, when the ground was given that jolt, the ground liquefied. That's why they have the 32-foot motions and everything else. But this Japanese earthquake is way more severe than what Alaska has ever seen, as far as I know.
Well, I think Alaska was the second largest. The first one was called the Great Chilean Quake of 1964 and 1965, and then the second was the Alaska earthquake, and then you had a number of them along what's called the Ring of Fire, the plates around the Pacific Ocean. But the thing is that this earthquake was in a place like Japan, which is very heavily populated, and it wasn't so much the earthquake that's caused the problems, although, from what I gather, you have at least 10,000, about 10,000 dead. A lot of these people have been missing for some time, so you got to presume that they are dead, and some of the bodies washed back up on the shore a day or so after the tidal wave. But it looks like I got lost on TeamSpeak, and I'm glad that somebody is recording this, because I ended up being kicked off. That's why I record this thing on MP3. The MP3 doesn't die on me. But getting back on it, yes, it's the reason that such a severe earthquake is that it is affecting Japan, but the tidal wave is about to do far worse, because it pretty well had these old nuclear reactors. And from what I gather, you have reactor 1, reactor 2, reactor 3, reactor 4, and then 5 and 6 are sort of off to the side together. And what they're having problems with is meltdown and these reactors being open to the elements. They don't have enough water on their reactor rods.
The spent fuel pool. That's what you're talking about, I believe. What happens is after this radioactive stuff decays and they pull it out and put it somewhere. And what they're saying is that the stuff should have been 20 miles away, but it was on the same place as the nuclear power plant. That's one of the reasons they're having troubles. Look, I'm not an expert what's going on over there. All I know is what the news media tells me.
Oh, okay.
It's on the spent fuel pool, not the reactor, but okay. I could be wrong.
If, by the way, INTJ, if guest number one is acting, is asking for permission to speak, by all means,
sure.
Go ahead and let him.
Sure.
I'm not quite sure if Russ would be able to hear it, but since INTJ is in, I'm sort of relying on him to do the necessary tasks or something like that. Let me see. Anyway, I'm looking at what's going on in the chat room a little bit. That's the good part about the live show. But what I see is that what they said is that they're pretty well letting the actual power company decide what to do, and the power company has been doing a lot of shortcuts, essentially not keeping up the safety standards like it should have been keeping up. And what I heard that recently is that the United States, probably its Navy, was bringing in a whole bunch of diesel generators to help pump water, via hoses into these pools in order to keep them hydrated, lower the radiation, and, do, I guess, what you could say was scramble the net. But I've gone ahead and listened to something more of this. Do you know if they have these spent nuclear fuel rods? You have these, we have somebody called McGang requesting talk power. By all means, if the guy wants to go ahead and speak, we'll have him go ahead and speak. Anyway, I'm sort of relying on INTJ to go ahead and do that. He's the admin. I'm pretty well just sort of kicked back just talking, but it seems like what they did is that they simply didn't keep up all these safety precautions. And what they also did, instead of reprocessing them or anything like that, they just simply stored these nuclear fuel rods right next to these other reactors. Wouldn't it have been smarter to either reprocess the fuel or send it to the United States or...
Well, eventually the fuel was reprocessed. I guess for whatever reason they just kept it too close to the nuclear reactor.
Well, I was looking to where they stored it on top of the reactor pool.
Apparently, this is what I'm hearing. This is insane, but hey, what can I say,
Well, I guess they better not do that again. They were talking about putting it out in Yucca Mountain, a lot of this stuff, which would be... Okay, it looks like somebody, no intelligent life... Well, you might go ahead and let him back on. Although I don't see any, I don't really mind these people being ass clowns as long as you have somebody there to keep an eye on them like you are, INTJ. So if you want to go ahead and let him back on, that's fine by me. Okay, getting off it. They're giving a hard time. The Republicans are giving a hard time because the first African American nigger seems to be just sort of kicked back and not doing much of anything about what's going on. He's essentially talking about the schedule for Nigger Ball. You have what they call March Madness. For college, basketball, I call it Nigger Ball. And it looks like the first chimp is more interested in Nigger Ball than he is somehow helping the Japanese out of their mess. Because if it does go ahead and burn down, and it does go Chernobyl, you're going to have a lot of economic problems in Japan.
Hey, if look, Obama is not just a mixed race mongrel hybrid communist goddamn tyke nigger. I think he's insane. I truly think he has no comprehension of what's going on. To come out and even advocate nuclear power after this Tokyo incident is beyond belief. I don't think he realizes, or maybe I'm totally wrong, this Japanese thing is serious. This is not a joke. And the U.S. should be doing everything possible to solve that problem. If it takes the military, the best scientists, or fly stuff, or whatever we have to do, because if that thing is not solved, they're going to have a whole bunch of stuff dumped that's going to hit the West Coast of the United States. And I think eventually there'll be repercussion.
Well, I don't see why they don't. You have this guy on Market Ticker. He was talking about using what is a byproduct of the coal industry, called thorium or whatever, to go ahead and create something more than these light water reactors, which were the very first reactors created. But the problem is that you have to keep these things cooled down. Now, if you have it to where, if the thing isn't being run, it isn't being actually operated. Essentially, you have the medium by which it generates electricity. It automatically shuts down the nuclear reactor. Here, what you have is that you have to maintain water. You have to maintain water on these old reactors, and that is the problem. There's not anybody making sure that this water is there. From what I gather, they've flown up some diesel generators or something to pump water from the military, probably from the naval base in Nagasaki, Japan. And from what I gather, they'll probably look for suicide volunteers to get it done closer. But I've been looking at these Japanese helicopters put water over there, and I don't think hardly any water is getting on these pools. Well, now, it's better than nothing, but
I don't understand. The seawater ain't going to solve the problem. They need boreated water. 20 mule team borax. They need boron. There's a nuclear cross-sectional area. I am not an expert of this area. It's called Barnes, B-A-R-N-S. Boron has a very high number of Barnes. I guess it captures neutrons for whatever reason. And zirconium has a very low number of Barnes. That's the reason they use zirconium as the metal. That's why you hear zirconium being used all the time. But until they get some boron in there, baby, they ain't going to solve that problem. I don't care what they do. I don't care how much seawater they dump in there.
Well, I don't know if they're looking for a long-term solution right now. They're just trying to make sure that they don't have a short-term disaster, i.e. a complete meltdown to where it creates... See, if they had water over that, it'd go ahead and create... the water will absorb some of it, generally it's a light water reactor. It's meant to have water, but now you have essentially these rods open to the air, and when they start melting, they're going to create far more worse nuclear radiation than when they have water over it. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get generators to pump in more water over that. And from what I gather, they're having their 50 workers or whatever essentially be just sacrificing their lives in order to get this mess fixed. But from what I gather, it's not being fixed. I heard some Japanese physicists say that what they need to do is they need to do just like they did Chernobyl. They need to just simply dump a whole bunch of cement right over it. Let it, quote, melt as much as it can, Let it go ahead and do whatever and do just like they do in Chernobyl. They need to entomb those reactor rods in concrete. And thus, you'll still end up having like you did in Chernobyl. And, before it does go ahead and do a complete meltdown. like it did. And
so it's their problem. Let me ask another question. Another thing I don't understand here is that the Japanese yen has gone crazy. You would think it would take a nosedive, but for whatever reason, it's gone just the other way. It's become extremely strong.
It's become extremely strong because what the Japanese... Well, I've already said what the reason for that is. What the Japanese yen is going to try to do is that they printed, just like the Zog does, they printed a whole bunch of yen. But they know that what the Japanese will do is that they will want to sell their treasury bills. They have 800 billion in Zog bucks and treasury bills. What they want to do is repatriate that and use it to buy lumber, food, everything else. They will be wanting to buy a bunch of stuff in order to refix. So as a result, the yen will, what they're trying to do is they're trying to burn off all these T-bills. The thing about it is that Zog doesn't have the money they have plenty of currency that they can print up. But it's, for example, the February inflation results were up, and it's the highest that's ever been in two and a half years. And the reason it's been higher is that essentially this quantitative easing, too, i.e. print a whole bunch of money, is coming back to bite them. So, anyway. I'm looking at Jonathan 12. Jonathanks 12. We probably got a little idiot Jew. He's poking me right now. I don't know why. What good is that going to do? But yeah,
see, that makes sense.
That's why it's becoming more and more valuable in that what they're doing is that they're going to try to repatriate all the dollars they have out, and they're not going to be storing them like in T-bills. They're going to be doing their best to buy, when John Britton went up to Alaska, very few of these old growth logs went to the United States. Very few of them went to LA or Seattle or wherever. Almost all of them went to Japan or China. And they would pay a premium for these old growth logs. The Japanese would pay the most. Sometimes they'd use it for a Shinto temple. Sometimes they use it for this or that. So what you're going to see is that they don't have any force of their own. And what they're going to do is they're going to take this money that they have that they hope to use, and they're going to use it to buy something. Something useful, like lumber, certainly like food, like a number of things. So you're going to see the prices of everything go up because the Japanese in many ways are going to be buying a bunch of things.
And yet the Bank of Japan says they're trying to stop it. G7, we'll see what happens.
What the Bank of Japan has done is that they have had a depression for 20 years. Just like when we were seeing, I went ahead and played on the Movement Turd, number 61, the theme from Rising Sun when Michael Crichton was saying, the Japanese are buying up Sony, they're buying, Sony's buying Columbia Pictures, Sony's buying this, Sony's buying that. Right then, you were already having the beginning of the Japanese financial meltdown. And I'll give credit to the Japanese in that they seem to be by far the smartest or the most determined or the most, conscious of all the Oriental people. But in many cases, it seems like they don't understand how to do some original research or some original thinking. For example, Japan had very, very quickly, they had guns when the Dutch and the Portuguese were trying to get into Japan. And what they did is they made matchlocks out of their superior samurai sword steel that were really, really, really good guns. But what they decided, they had a little civil war, and you've seen a bit of portion of it in the case of Shogun by James Clavell a long time ago. And what the Japanese decided to do was they would kick out all the round eyes except for the Dutch, and they would just keep the Dutch located on one port on Nagasaki, and that's the way they did it for 200 some years. And then they treated U.S. shipwrecked sailors pretty badly, and Commodore Perry showed up with all these advanced cannons, advanced sailing ships, essentially overawed the Japanese to, guess what, you can't maintain your isolation anymore. So they formed what was called the Meiji Restoration to decide that Japan would become a modern nation without anybody being able to tell them what to do. And that's, you know, Lothrop Stoddard in his book, A Rising Tide of Color Against White Civilization, said that we should not have done that to the Chinese or the Japanese because they outnumber us and they would be far more efficient than us, even though they can't outsmart us. And you had Lothrop Stoddard say it was a bad thing to invite, you know, to make Japan get into the modern world, because the end result was, and this was in 1924, 1925, well, you had less than 20 years later, you had something called Pearl Harbor, to where we had a big war with the Japanese. And pretty well MacArthur did the opposite of what the Jews wanted to do to the Germans. He decided, yes, you could keep your emperor. Yes, you could keep modernization, but you would no longer be using it for purposes of war. Now, from what I got, MacArthur and Franklin Delano Roosevelt didn't much care for each other. MacArthur was the chief of staff during the bonus marchers in Washington. And he did not like being ordered to fire upon these bonus marchers. And he was the chief of staff, and he did not much at all care for MacArthur. He didn't much care for Ike the Kike, Kikenhauser. He said that Ike the Kike was the best clerk he ever had. And essentially, Ike the Kike was promoted over about 40 generals, 45 generals or something like that, and essentially he hated the Germans. He murdered about a little bit over a million, German POWs.
When you look at that bonus march deal, it's a pretty sorry deal. I heard about it when I was a kid. But apparently Patton and Eisenhower were also involved in there. Patton was, those guys...
Well, Patton despised Kikenhauer. What happens, Patton used to be over Kikenhauer. He used to be a major general, and then he slapped this little Jew shirker, and essentially Bradley was promoted over Patton, and so was Kikenhauer. And what happens, Patton didn't much care for Kikenhauer either. Patton sort of liked the SS. He thought they were great soldiers, and he proposed rearming them. He proposed rearming the German, the German POWs and the SS. He said, "Yes, if we go ahead and let them have their tanks back, and if we go ahead and do all this, and we pay for the gas, why, we will have them Russian bastards. We'll be in Moscow in about 3 months' time." That's what Patton wanted to do. He wanted to arm the SS. He wanted to arm what remained of the Wehrmacht. He wanted to give them back their guns and sick them on the Russians. And there's a lot of people who think that Patton was deliberately murdered by, quote, accident because of his beliefs. But, getting back to Japanese, they are going, you know, they have an older population, and they will want to, they want to go ahead and fix up what they had as good as it can be fixed up. And there will probably be an area, if they entomb it like Chernobyl, where they end up having to do that. But since they have an old population, I guess the old population will go ahead and rebuild just like in Chernobyl. You have a bunch of the old-time Ukrainians. They didn't bother to move, or they got moved out, and then they just snuck right back. And, you know, maybe some of them are dying of cancer. But as they look at why we're 72, we're 86, we're 93, I mean, we're not too worried about getting cancer anymore from what remains of Chernobyl. And it did eventually die out from my gear. A lot of it has died out. A lot of the radiation. Correct?
Well, after 30 years, sure, a lot of the radiation will go away.
Well, it has a half-life. So, you know, the stuff, what they call it when I went to, you know, school, is that radiation is inversely proportional half-life.
Exactly true.
If you have a lot of radiation, that's because it has a rather small half-life. So if it has a real short half-life, you will have a burst of radiation.
But if you take a big pile of radioactive material, you wait even a couple years, 5-10 years, the majority of it is decomposed.
A lot of it has decomposed. And that's what this Japanese scientist I was looking at this morning was saying. I mean, he said, stop dicking around with this. Just instead of dropping all this water to try to pull out and segregate to where you no longer have a fission reaction, you no longer have boiling water, just segregate, you know, just have plenty of water over these nuclear fuel rods, start separating them to where essentially they can't produce very much fission, because essentially it's by fission. You have neutrons hitting other neutrons, and then, you know, if it gets out of control, or if it gets under careful control, you end up having an atomic bomb. If you have it under some sort of control, where you move the rods in, you move the rods out, and you pay attention to it, what you have is you have steam being created to drive a turbine. And that's, you know, that turbine drives a generator, and that's the whole idea behind the power plants. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a number of this stuff, get water on it, and then get it to where they can reprocess it. And some of the byproducts, I mean, the vast majority of uranium is the wrong type of uranium. I think it's, what, U-238, and they're looking mainly for U-235 or something like that.
Well, the 235 is what they use in the nuclear power plants. The 238 is crap they use that depleted uranium in all the shells in Iran and in Iraq and Afghanistan. The 238 is not fissionable, only the 235.
235. Well, what they tried to do is that they also have what they call breeder reactors, to where they try to turn the U-238 into plutonium, which has a few more extra and is very, very, very fissionable, but also rather dangerous as well.
All dangerous.
You know, rather dangerous, both chemically dangerous and radiologically dangerous.
That's right. Plutonium is the most chemically dangerous element known to man. For whatever reason, I don't know, it just is. Look, this entire nuclear thing scares me. It's so unnatural. Look, I don't care what kind of dead animals you have, coal, carbon, petroleum, whatever the hell the stuff is. After 30, 40 years, it disappears. This nuclear stuff can stick around for a million years. It can stick around
for a while, and obviously, it doesn't seem to have. I mean, they thought they had it under control. They had an earthquake. It wasn't the earthquake which caused it. It was the tsunami. And what they've been doing is building in aircraft or something like that. I don't see why they just don't go ahead and use a Honda generator, get a whole bunch of these Honda generators. They make Honda generators, and essentially use that to pump the water. You know, screw, drop in there or something like that. I mean, get somebody who's already dying anyway and just have him run. You know, he's going to die anyway. Have him just simply, you know, just go ahead and take the hose and, you know, grab the end of the hose and just run it in there and put it in the freaking pool, and then just start pumping water. Pumping and pumping and pumping water, from a Honda generator. I don't know why they had to use United States Army or Navy or whatever generators from Nagasaki. I mean, there's plenty of Honda generators that cost about $300-$400 just to get a bunch of them working. I mean, you would think them Japs would have a lot of them Honda generators,
Well, just read the newspaper and see what took place, that's all.
Read the newspapers after the fact, huh?
I'll tell you what, I'm getting tired now again.
Okay, well, I was glad you could call in. What I think, and they're trying to get away, you know, they're trying to go ahead and get away from it. I think what we should use is we should simply use Wyoming coal, which is relatively low sulfur, and use it for, you know, they made a big thing while I was in the nut house, but they were talking about creating a coal-fired electrical plant in Illinois. And by the way, they have this town called Carbondale. It has a whole it's called Carbondale because they used to have a bunch of coal mines there. And, you know, I mean, unlike West Virginia, unlike Pennsylvania, essentially what they would do is they just simply dig out the topsoil, lay it to the side, and just dig, just quarry it out. And it was called Carbondale because that whole bunch of mines. And Jimmy Carter, if you go on I-55, you know, supposedly took all this carbon, you know, all this coal out of existence. And if they're worried about it, in all places with, you know, would you put me in contact with Russ? By the way, INTJ is trying to figure out how to get you on TeamSpeak, but we're not going to do that tonight, are we, Russ?
I don't know how to use TeamSpeak. That's okay.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and give, you know, if it's okay with you, I'll give him your email address.
Sure.
And he can tell you how to download TeamSpeak. I use the 32-bit version because I trust 32-bit more than I trust 64-bit, but in any case, what seems to me is that what we need to have is far more coal-fired plants. And in a place like Illinois, which gets plenty of rain, what you do is you take the carbon dioxide from the burning process and you set up an algae farm, and you have the algae, you know, oil-bearing algae. You have oil-bearing algae, essentially eat the carbon, and that's where you get oil and you get electrical power. And they were bitching, well, it's going to increase the carbon footprint. Well, from what I gather, it would produce twice the amount of electricity and only one quarter amount of the amount of coal or amount of carbon dioxide as the old regular coal fire, you know, coal burning plants. And folks, we do need to have more electricity, although we need to have, well, maybe, no, what we really need is we need fewer beaners and fewer niggers is what we need.
That's right.
But, you know, beaners and niggers, you know, go ahead and use electricity.
Martin, unless they stop immigration, all the discussion about energy is a waste of time.
If you're going to go ahead and let a whole bunch of muds come to this country to where it's $600 billion, why, yeah, you know the price, and they're not building any more even coal-fired plants, you know that things are screwed up. Folks, if we had a white government, as opposed to a crooked Jew-run, Shabbos-wigger, New World Order, you know, let all the white people die, they're racist, they're evil, we would have less of a problem. So rather than even building our coal-fired plant, let's just go ahead and shoot about 100,000 beaners. That would be a better idea now that I think on it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Anyway, I was glad you could go ahead and call, but, I mean, Russ, I sort of think if we build any more power plants, I think they ought to be relatively clean coal. And I think, you know, in places like Illinois where they have enough rainfall or something like that, they ought to create these algae farms to sequester some of this carbon dioxide and to create some more,
carbon dioxide is a fertilizer. These guys make...
Well, it's a fertilizer for plants.
This world wouldn't exist without carbon dioxide. These environmental clowns, if they're so much against carbon dioxide, stop drinking Coke and Pepsi. Any rate.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with it, but essentially, they're greenhouse gas here, and like I tell these idiots, I say, well, there's a lot of shit that grows in greenhouse.
Water vapor's a greenhouse gas, and in fact, every greenhouse I've ever been in, I've enjoyed it. Anyway, Martin, I'm getting tired, I'm going to sleep.
All right, well, I'll talk to you later. Hail Victory, and you have a good one, Russ. Thanks for calling in.
Good night.
All right, good night. Hail Victory. Anyway, well, I like talking to Russ. Maybe we can get him on TeamSpeak one of these days, but I don't know. What you end up having is that I will go ahead, IMTJ, tonight or tomorrow. I'll give you Russ Walker's his email address. Russ is somewhat of a spammer. But if you can get him to download, I prefer the TeamSpeak 32-bit. There's a 64-bit, but I prefer the 32-bit. That's just the way I am. In fact, I prefer 16-bit over 32-bit, but, because I do know about 16-bit. I mean, it's real simple to use, but 32-bit is pretty well the standard instead of 64. And, but on the other hand, I don't know, Russ is sort of an old dog. You don't want to learn a whole bunch of new tricks, but you can go ahead and give him a shot at it. But, folks, there's been a lot of people say, hey, no more nuclear power. And I think they have somewhat of a point, but what you see is that over in Japan, you have these old reactors which should have been shut down and made to be a more safety conscious thing. These light water reactors, these boiling water reactors, they were the simplest thing. Their design is what, 50 years old. And what they needed to have was a system to where you don't have to pump cooling water over it. You have something like thorium or something like that to where, essentially, if somebody isn't actually running a thing, it's not going to do anything. I mean, if you had a car and essentially that car kept on running and you had to keep pumping gas into it, you had to keep pumping water into it or something like that, that car would be taking over control of your life, just as these ancient light water reactors are taking control over the Japanese and the rest, to where you have to do something in order to keep them from melting down. They need to, if they're going to use nuclear energy, they need to create a system to where, well, they need to create a system to where what they end up doing is, essentially, if nobody is running the power plant just shuts down and no more nuclear reactions take place. Well, they take place, but they take place at a far lower rate, to where you just have the normal radiological decay. Now, while studying physics, in the case of lead is an element which is not going to decay anymore. You end up having, say, from uranium, it would decay and decay and decay. It'd shoot off helium, it'd shoot off radium, it'd shoot off all these other isotopes. And eventually, they would degrade into lead. Perhaps billions of years ago, a lot of like underneath the feet, where I live in Granby, you have all these lead deposits. Maybe at one time this lead was uranium and therefore radiologically hot. Now no more. But what I see is that, especially here in the United States, where we have so much coal which could be turned into diesel fuel, which could be turned into gasoline, we have so much that it could be done, but it's not going to be done unless we have an all-white nation. The reason we have things falling apart is we have a bunch of non-whites and we have a bunch of Jews who are living off of us and destroying us. And in any case, we need far more. Well, I mean, Reader's Digest Physics. I was taking a pre-engineering course, and that does not make me an expert. But what I see is that what we need to do, especially in the United States, maybe the Japanese didn't have any choice, but from what I gather, they were allowing this power company to take shortcuts, a lot of shortcuts with safety. And when you had this earthquake, which they did sort of know what happened, but this tsunami, which they didn't predict, and you have all these nuclear fuel rods, these spent nuclear fuel rods, which do need covering. Now, I don't see why they didn't separate them further, so that, you know, separated and pretty much sealed to where, guess what, they wouldn't interact with each other and they wouldn't be able to melt down. I'll see why they didn't do that. It might be just like the Yucca Mountain thing in Nevada, not in my backyard, even though my backyard is a big old desert out where you don't have hardly anybody except maybe a few sheep, a few goats, and a few stray beaners. But here in the United States, we don't need to use the nuclear option. And they're talking about using natural gas, but they're talking about using it for fracking. Folks, I'm totally against using, you know, injecting chemicals into the water table for natural gas. What we need to understand is that we need to use something old-fashioned that works. That works. And what is old-fashioned and that does work and produces better than half the power, not nuclear energy, which produced about 20%, not having these expensive natural gas-fired coal plants, what we need is we need the old-fashioned coal plants, but we need to make new ones to where they have relatively clean coal. They're far more efficient, and they're right next to it in places like Illinois where you have enough water. You have an algae farm to create more, to go ahead and create more and more diesel, biodiesel. So what we do is we use coal diesel, we use biodiesel. We don't have to get involved in all these wars in the Middle East for the Jews and to keep the Arabs doing whatever, because what you have is you have a bunch of parasitic people. You have Jews who are the world's biggest parasites. If it was up to me, I wish every Jew was a Zionist. I wish every dirty Jew would move to Israel, including the little part Jew drones, move them all to Israel, and then give them guns, and then give the Arabs guns, and let them settle it one way or the other. But folks, if we didn't need some of the soil, we didn't need to, you know, poke our nose in Saudi Arabia, and we do get most of our oil from Canada. If we would drill in North and South Dakota on this Bakken oil field, which they say is bigger than Saudi Arabia, if we would do that, we would have it made. But what you have is you have big Jews and the rest of them, they want to maintain power and control, and they do not want a prosperous white America. What they want is they want a dead, no longer America left. And that is what is killing us. What is killing us is Uyghurs. Shabbos Uyghurs going along with Jews. Now I will create an introductory program to introduce singing Uyghur problem. And what I'm doing is that I'm using the MP3 player to create parody, songs. But folks, we do have a Uyghur problem. We do have a Mamzer problem. We do have a Jew problem. But mainly we have a Uyghur problem. These Japanese, it seems to me, did not do a very good job of running their nuclear reactors. And it's getting back to bite them in the ass. And it looks like the Japanese people are figuring out that, guess what? They have a Jap problem too. They have a bunch of people who were part of a little industrial family or conglomerate. And essentially, they went ahead and took a bunch of risks. And the end result was that the risks didn't pan out. The risks didn't do very good. So, they probably would have done better if they'd have would have stored the spent fuel rods on a plant somewhere out in an island way, way, way far away. Or hired the Chinese or whatever to take care of them problems. But now they stored all these spent fuel rods. And those spent fuel rods required water to be over it. Let me see. Okay, well, I don't mind here. Let's go ahead and DSA, FDS. Why don't we go ahead and end this segment of the Movement Turd and, you know, take a little bit of break, and we'll figure out who wants, who wants talk power, and we'll go ahead and get them back on. So hold on, folks. Hail victory.
In danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will take a super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring the kid alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there was no one else who took
it. Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken.
Yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink a super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring the kid alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there was no one else who took it.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Okay, folks, this is the next segment of the Movement Turd. It's around 10 o'clock of the live show. And what I like doing is having at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of live speak. And then I sometimes get to the sermon or something like that. And someone was talking about wanting to get a UPS or, get a UPS or a post office box so he could read racist books. Now, Back in the old days, what we would do is, if we wanted to read Mein Kampf, what we would say is, well, I'm studying it for historical value. Now, I've never been able to go, I've managed to make about 3 or 4 chapters of Mein Kampf. I mean, Mein Kampf was a little bit big and turgid, and it didn't really cover anything I thought was relevant. When I was a young man at all. It was just sort of like a, it's sort of just like, well, what the heck is the big deal, with this Hitler guy? And, some of it, people have had me notice, and I have noticed that, Hitler had a lot of interesting and, in many cases, apt things to say. Hitler knew what the time was regarding Jews, and he knew what the situation was. But in many cases, does what happened in 1924, 1925, 1926 Germany have very much to do with 1975, 1976, 1977, 1978 America? Much less, it's been about 80 years or so since Hitler wrote Mein Kampf. 90 years, closer to 80 some years. And the answer is this is not 1920, 25, 26, 27, 1933, 1936, 1939, or 1945 Germany. It's getting close to being sort of a little lot like 1945 Germany. But, folks, I have something to say, and this show, I make fun of bowel movement leaders. Because most of these people are just plain old clowns. They get people who are looking for leadership. They are getting people who are looking for answers for some great white, you know, some great man on a white horse to tell them what to do. And I try to warn people against going to these great movement leaders, especially if they have a lot of baggage, like David Duke does with Stormfront. I try to talk, especially Alex Linder with his traitor Glenn Miller. I met traitor Glenn Miller. He's a lying, sneaking, Anglo-Mestizo rat. You know, traitor Glenn Miller is not altogether white. I don't even see why anybody followed this piece of shit. But they did. And some of them were Christian Dandy, and some of them spent some years in prison because they should have obeyed the Bible saying, don't you be unequally yoked with someone. You go ahead and look at, you know, you go ahead and look at Traitor Glenn Miller. He's an, you know, he's an Anglo-Mestizo from North Carolina. A Cherokee or Choctaw or Hacksaw or shit-ass from no wiping tribe, just like Jeremy Visser. And you have no business, being around such people, much less following them, much less getting in trouble with them. Because all it took with Traitor Glenn Miller was just keep him from, you know, being able to drink his Jim Beam, and he ratted people out. He had no problem with ratting people out. Why in the world, you know, even if Traitor Glenn Miller was blonde, blue-eyed, and pure white, why would any of you want to have something to do with him on the NNF? And the answer is because you're playing a shit that's going to get you in trouble. Now, what is my solution? My solution follows William Lynn's fourth generation warfare, to where I call for independent whites, that now that Zog is falling apart, is to notice who the police are, who the lawyers, who the judges, and the rest, and make sure that those people die when the Great Tribulation gives a chance for chaos. And to understand the dual seed line Christian identity message, in that only whites are of any concern to Yahweh. Only if you are the found sheep of the house of Israel are you of any concern to Yahweh. I'm not trying to convert people to Christian identity because, well, first of all, I don't know who you are. I don't want to know who you are. I have a deal. I mean, I tell you to stay away from Morris Gillette. Morris Gillette does not need your $25. You don't need to be associated with them. Morris Gillette is more than likely a rat who was working for Zog. He got in trouble. He got kicked out. Besides, he has $500,000 in trust fund from Harold Grooms' estate. He don't need your money. You don't need to go to jail. Now, this Kevin William Harpham case is pretty well, you know, point in fact for that. I don't think Mr. Harpham is guilty of anything at all. Nothing at all. But what he did is he had to run his mouth over on DNNF, and you had a bunch of Jews. And folks, DNNF is better than a third Jew anyway. Whenever they have Yom Kippur, they're busy celebrating their little, you know, Nal Kidri. So the posters go down by about a third, as all the, you know, all the little devout Jews are not showing up on Oasis Forum or pretend Oasis Forum. But they had over 1,000 of old Joe Snuffy / Kevin Harpham's emails. And it doesn't matter if his father, Cecil or William or whatever his father's name is. I thought it was Cecil, but then another thing I seen said it was William. Folks, it doesn't matter what Kevin Hartman's father says. It doesn't matter where he passes, you know, 1 or 2 or 20 or 100 lie detector tests. He's the latest little clown who is being rounded up. And folks, the line, you know, anybody can be rounded up for anything by Zog anytime they want to be, you know, anytime Zog wants to round them up. For 3.5 years, you know, going out, you know, really 4.5 years, my grandchildren were taken. They allegedly got one to claim that I kissed his penis. Allegedly. They went ahead and took away, you know, took those grandchildren away, and then when I was suing them to get them back, they decided to put me in jail with a $100,000 bond they knew I could not make. And when I insisted on being my own attorney and getting to face my grandson, well, no, you can't do that, even though the law, the Constipation Bill of Goods, and the law says you can. Hell with it. We can send you to Nut House, we'll dope you up, and we'll treat you just like Soviet Union treated their prisoners. Put them in that house. Oh, you're rebelling against this workers' paradise here. Why, you must be nuts. Well, same thing. I'm rebelling against the greatest system on earth, the greatest log Bible on earth. You're obviously in that case. Why, we're not sure. You're not schizophrenic. You're not this. You're not that. Why, you must be suffering from psychotic disorder not otherwise specified, which means that you're nuts because we say you're nuts. We can't prove you're nuts. We don't have any reason to say you're nuts, but we say you're nuts anyway. And then don't allow you to see the psychiatric report, and don't allow you to challenge it, and don't, you know, essentially 2.5, you know, a little bit over 2.5 years locked up in Nut House simply because the crooked judge wanted to do it because they didn't want me defending myself, as was my so-called right. And then when it came time for the preliminary hearing, the case fell apart because my grandson refused to lie against me. So what you have is essentially them doing and Zog doing whatever the hell they want to. And then they say that I'm a maniac because I want to torture their children to testify against regime criminal parents and grandparents because I want to do to Zog what Zog did to me, and I'm not even pretending that the constipation and bill of goods is anything other than a dead issue. If someone wrongs you and he's a regime criminal, the word of Yahweh says that that criminal's entire family is to be put to death for the crimes that that regime criminal does. And if the city supports a regime criminal, that entire city is to be destroyed for the sins that they tolerated and that they advanced of that regime criminal. You folks, what I'm proposing is that since Zog is falling apart, that every one of you become his own independent warlord and know what you want. And what you should want is already mentioned in the Bible, what you should be. Now, it will be up to you to decide whether to be harsh or gentle with regime criminals. I favor harshness. I favor harshness with Uyghurs. But in most cases, 90% of the necessary work of destruction will be created by the fact that essentially Zog is falling apart. You have a majority non-white country now. Don't believe it's going to take until 2040 or 2050. You have a majority non-white Zog now. It's like it was well on Noah's 590th year. He had only 10 years left to finish up, you know, to finish up building the ark. His grandpa Methuselah had 10 years more. And he was saying, guess what? When Methuselah dies and this ark is done, the flood is going to come. They said, water come from heaven? You gotta be shitting me. Ain't gonna happen. You know, I mean, ain't these demons, why, they're teaching us how to make iron. They're teaching us how to make bronze. They're real nice people there. Don't you go ahead and like my little giant grandson or son or niglet or whatever And just as in Noah's day, we too have the same sort of, quote, thinking, making the rounds. So, okay. And make reading them impossible. Well, yeah, generally guest number one has a point. When I go ahead and file a lawsuit, in many cases, people say, well, what are you trying to do? The reason for this particular lawsuit is that I don't want a peaceful solution. I don't want Zog claiming, well, if only he had written a wonderful lawsuit. Yep, audio went ahead and dropped. Okay, well, I'm glad Wigger Problem is recording. In my lawsuits, most of these lawsuits are meant to be lost. You see, folks, I don't want a peaceful solution. I don't want, essentially, Zog saying, well, guess what? Why in the world are we holding these elections? The answer, we're holding these elections simply to act like a little rubber stamp to do whatever the hell we want to do. So when, as a white man, I am not allowed to run for United States Senator or anything like that, I end up, as I looking, winning because guess what? No white man has any obligation to pay taxes to this government, which will not allow him to be represented. Folks, when I do the same thing that Jesus Christ did when he spoke in parables. In many cases, I do not want a peaceful solution. What I want is a dire, dreadful, great tribulation. In any case, you have Brian Real making it to where, guess what? I'm not allowed to speak what I wish to speak on my own particular webpage. Fine. What I want is that I want, you know, the owners and operators, the corporate owners and operators, the lawyers, the judges, the rest, everyone who supports this little mamzer. I don't want peace. Just like Jesus Christ, I do my best to bring a sword. So having people think that I'm a total lunatic and use that to justify the fact that you're not holding open, free, fair, honest elections is a good plus here, folks. People listen to me, and I will get better than 2%, 2 to 3% of the population. You got to understand that 5% of the population is pissed off about everything. But in many cases, you have this pissed off population that runs to and fro. And so I get a percentage enough to retain ballot access. That's the same way it goes in this county. But folks, am I going to possibly win any election? The answer is no. So what do? You run in order to destroy the legitimacy of pretending that you have an elective process. Same way with the web pages and the rest. You want to go ahead and make it to where there is no free speech possible, and so that when Zog goes ahead and goes into violence, they say, well, why in the world do you have violence? You had free speech. Answer, well, no, you didn't have free speech. You had every little wigger and every little mamzer thinking that he had a right not to be offended, and so they destroyed free speech. And you had these corporate lackeys who were at the very top who would not allow free speech to take place. You see, under a sane regime, what I have to say would not be paid attention to. But on the other hand, back when we had a sane system, my so-called racism was well understood. They're just saying, well, I wish Martin wouldn't go ahead, you know, and talk so much racist stuff here. It's bad for business. Okay. Whatever. The fact of the matter is that most of the time when I file these lawsuits, I file them to lose. I don't want a peaceful solution. I want a solution to where there is no choice other than to save yourself for things to go ahead and fall apart. You see, the current situation, the current peace is what is killing us. Had last had last week, well, last Sunday, and I haven't put it up yet. We had, you know, some gamers show up on this here. One was called Eagle, who said he was white. He would normally be blonde, blue-eyed, and chances are he may have been a Jew or a mud or something like that, an Anglo-Mestizo. And he was yapping about, oh, how you shouldn't talk racist here, because he wanted to marry his fiancée, who was a high yellow nigger, negress. And you had another one who had a little more sense from Wisconsin. But he sort of thinks that this Wisconsin teacher's wage situation, to where everybody pays the government enough to where you have white people paying off to have other wiggers who are with the labor system a medium wage, a middle class wage, a living wage. Folks, if you don't have taxpayers able to make a living, how are you going to have wiggers who work for the government able to make a middle class living? And the answer is you're not. If 90% of the white people are just scraping by and they're not even able to pay for their white children, you're not going to have a white civilization. The vast majority, since 2000, the vast majority of the kindergarten classes now are non-white. Where is that going to leave? Where is peace and elections and free speech? Where is it leading to us as we have it now? The answer is not leading us anywhere. Not leading us anywhere. Well, I mean, I was looking at Bill White. I mean, I don't know about Bill White. Bill White, I actually sort of went to bat for Bill White, even though Bill White talked a bunch of shit about me. I've known of Bill White for a long time, long before, back when he was a libertarian in Maryland. And essentially, Bill White thought he was the smartest thing ever. And he's finding out that, no, he's not as smart as he thinks he is. He didn't have the free speech he thought he did. And neither do I. Neither do I. Now, I will have to go ahead and I will sue on behalf of my church for freedom of speech. But if we had an honest or an honorable or a functioning system, Brian Rio wouldn't have been able to do what he did. In fact, the last couple of days, he's been sort of hiding low. Him and Obagender Bender and Liar Bill, because I think somebody told him, look, dumbass, you're responsible for taking down this guy's web pages. You are responsible for doing what you did. But folks, if we had a healthy society, Brian Rio would have been laughed out. He just would have been laughed at. But instead, you have all these hosting companies which allow censorship of the internet. They allow for productive content, even though they don't like it, to be taken down. The whole purpose of this internet is to have interconnections. Even if you don't agree with it, if you don't agree with that content, you don't go there. But if you allow censorship of the internet for anybody, then where does it end? Now, folks, I'm not altogether a believer in free speech. I'm altogether a believer in free speech for white people. But I don't believe that non-whites have a right to exist in a white country at all. And therefore, what they have to say is rather irrelevant. Now, I'm quite sure they have some web pages over in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm quite sure they have Arabic ones in Egypt. I'm quite sure they have them in Turkey or Iran or Afghanistan, maybe. I don't know. But they don't mean anything to me because I don't go over there to read them. I don't really care what they have to say. They can say whatever they want as far as I'm concerned. But they do not belong in a white civilization. So how do we go there from here? And the answer is, we can only get there by means of the Great Tribulation. We can only get there by means of civil war. We can only get there by means of the current order falling apart and becoming discredited. Now, folks, looking at what is going on in Japan, From what I gather, their prime minister is not really respected at all, either at home or abroad. I was looking at someone talking to a Japanese family who went from Tokyo to a little bit further south, about 15, 25 miles or south. And they said, well, do you trust what the government's telling you? And they said, no. Does anybody really in this, you know, not only just on the chat room, but does anybody really in Zogland trust what a pig tells them, what a lawyer tells them, what a judge tells them, what, you know, a government official tells them, what a bongo tells them, what the Congress tells them? Folks, Congress has, the representative branch of Congress has a lower, standard of respect than even the Negro Bongo. Nobody really trusts what anybody says in this regime. They look at these, you know, these spokespeople, and they don't believe anything in what they're saying at all. At all. Any more than this Japanese family believed what the government was telling them. If things are so wonderful, why in the world are we having so many of these crises? And the answer is that they allowed themselves to take the easy, the cheap way out. And now the bill is coming due, and one particular plant with reactors 1, 2, 3, and 4 are about, you know, have on the verge of meltdown, one way or the other. And so now you have about 50 workers or so being chosen to die. Now, I was sort of wondering, why did you have to have big old Navy, you know, U.S. Navy or Army or whatever generators flown from Nagasaki to this plant? How come you just couldn't go ahead and put a whole bunch of Honda generators and pump in water through that? I mean, that's sort of what I'm wondering. And, folks, you know, I don't know. There might be a reason for it. On the other hand, there may not be a reason for it. It may just be stupidity running in motion. So, okay. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to, Hiroshima had no radiation. What they had is they had, Hiroshima and Nagasaki had a different type of radiation. All the radiation was used at one particular blast point. The whole purpose was to use the radiation to create a fissionable mass that would create a bomb such as never was before. And the hydrogen bomb is meant to use a atom bomb in order to literally strip the electrons from the hydrogen in the air, the water vapor in the air, and create an even more efficient blast. What these discs do, if you studied any physics, radiation and half-life are inversely proportional. What you had in Hiroshima and Nagasaki is you had one hell of a lot of radiation, all in a split second. It should have been turned to where, yes, you end up having radiation, but you didn't have any uranium laying around that was, you know, that hadn't been gone into the explosion. Lance Battalion in Germany. And the warheads there were rather small. But they were meant not to leave any unburnt plutonium or uranium or anything like that around. They were designed to create to where you would have one heck of a, you know, pretty well a chain reaction of fission going at one point and taking out, oh, well, better part of a kilometer, better part of a Russian, tank battalion or, brigade or whatever at these railroad switching yards. And that's what, that's what the Lance missile is designed. It was a small tactical nuclear missile. And that's what it was meant to do. It wasn't meant to create a whole bunch of nasty radiation and poison these Germans or whatever, or the Czechs forever and ever and ever. No, it was meant to be used. All this material in this small, and this, I mean, these Lance missiles did not have big megatonnage warheads. Didn't even have a 1 megaton warhead. Okay? So, there were small battlefield nuclear missiles designed to create a whole bunch of fission at one time, maintain hardly any half-life at all, to go ahead and use all the plutonium all at once to create one heck of an explosion to vaporize a brigade or whatever of tanks or mechanized infantry or railway shipping yards or whatever. That's what it's meant to do. Not create radiation poisoning and kill all the people, through radiation sickness or anything. Now, you had that at Hiroshima and you had that at Nagasaki. But the whole purpose of it was to create one heck of a blast. That is why they used to do this nuclear testing, was to create warheads which would use as much as possible of the fissionable material, be it uranium or plutonium. That's what it's meant to do. So anyway, let me see. Maybe if
what happened to John Britton? Well, John Britton is told by his lawyers to, not get on any place like this. Not to get on Nimbusters, not to get on Beer Barrel, not to go ahead and get anybody. Essentially, he's not allowed to get on shows like this. So he's just fine. He's pretty well collecting his unemployment checks, and he hopes to go to Alaska and, do a seasonal employment here pretty soon. But he's, John Britton's okay. He's just fine. He's annoyed at some of his Uyghur relatives, but, he's always annoyed at his Uyghur relatives. John Britton has himself a Uyghur problem. Essentially, John Britton is not going to be on the Movement Turd or any of my shows. He's not even going to be logging on. He's not logging on to any more forums. His lawyers told him not to do it here. Little Sword Mamzer and his little cousin Ray caused trouble. And from what I gather, the little trouble didn't amount to anything, and that may be part of the reason the little sword mancers keeping a low profile, because I think their little shit backfired on them. Of course, they're not telling me about that. So, essentially, John Britton doesn't come on, he doesn't talk about his particular case, and, pretty well, I'm not going to be talking about it either. I mean, pretty well, we're just going to go ahead and drop the matter. But John Britton's doing fine, folks. Don't worry about John Britton. Okay? If you want to hear John Britton yelling and screaming here, you'll see if you can't get a hold of episode number 46. It gets up every so often up on Nimbusters or something like that. And folks, I may go ahead and put it on the Library of Congress or something like that. There's no secret. from what I gather, John Britton could, you know, could go ahead and, you know, bitch to the FBI. But folks, we don't bitch to the FBI. I mean, how do you bitch to the FBI when you want the FBI, you know, you look at them as the secret police of a criminal regime that's owned by Satan? How do you bitch to the FBI, please take care of our Mamzer's for us? How do you bitch to the FBI about having a Mamzer problem? And the answer is you don't. You can't. The Mamzer tries a hovel invasion, well, he'll be one sorry little Mamzer. If Mumpsnuts tries a hovel invasion, he'll be one sorry little Mumpsnuts. Generally I'm pretty well tame compared to old John Britton. So I don't imagine little Lion Brian's gonna, you know, dare show up at Emmett, Idaho. And I certainly know that Mumpsnuts isn't, and certainly not Pisser Possum. So hey, right now everything is sort of quiet, it's been sort of quiet. And what I need to do is I need to sell my ass down and write a lawsuit on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri, saying that guess what? As a church, we have a right to freedom of religion. And oh, by the way, internet service, you know, hosting companies, you have to decide whether or not you're an internet service provider or whether or not you are a little censor. But if you're going to provide internet service, well, guess what? You're going to have to provide to niggers. You're also going to have to go ahead and provide to my church. No more listening to little sword mamser whining like a little pussy here. His little mangina's hurt because he claims that I've used a copyright picture, which is not really copyrighted, which is a public picture of a public figure who's decided to make himself a public figure. So, folks, I mean, most of what hasn't been done, it falls on me. And I need to settle down and do something. So, I've been sort of catching up with some of the stuff here, and I do intend to go ahead and work on it this weekend. And I do intend to write a little bit more cogent lawsuit than usual. But folks, you gotta understand is that the purpose of these lawsuits isn't to win the lawsuit and isn't to go ahead and save Zog from violating this constipation bill of goods. Most of these lawsuits are designed to be lost. Most of these lawsuits are designed to go ahead and act against civilization so that there is no peaceful solution. Folks, I don't want a peaceful solution to this. I want civil war. I want a great tribulation. So I don't worry about losing a lawsuit. These court systems are so corrupt here, I don't know. I have never heard of anybody. Well, somebody went ahead and pointed out, INTJ went ahead and pointed out that George Gordon won a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit in Idaho. But it was after George Gordon spent about, the better part of a month illegally imprisoned in an Idaho jail or something like that. And yeah, George Gordon won a lawsuit. I don't know if he won any damages for being jailed illegally for 3 or 4 weeks, but yeah, George Gordon won a lawsuit. But folks, most of the time I've never heard of anybody pro se winning a lawsuit. The courts are absolutely corrupt. They are set up to allow Jews to steal from white people. They're allowed to have the government steal from white people. The courts, absolutely corrupt. They've always been corrupt. All it is that, Muammar Gaddafi is far more honest than the Zog court. Muammar pretty well tells his people, hey, everything will be just not fine as long as you do what I tell you to do. I'm not going to go ahead and give you any horse shit about how you have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. This is a Muslim country, even though I'm not really all that good of a Muslim. This is a tyranny. This is a dictatorship. Now, you can go ahead and talk against the Russians, and you can go ahead and talk against the Iranians, and you can go ahead and certainly talk against Zog all you want. Don't be talking shit about me. Essentially, Muammar Gaddafi is at least honest. He's far more honest than Hillary. far more honest than Obongo. I mean, essentially, you know where you stand with Muammar if you're a little Bedouin, you know, Pacquiao goat herder. From what I gather, the portion of Libya in the south, it has so little to do with what happens in either eastern Libya or western Libya that Muammar Gaddafi isn't even bothering with sending out any Toyota pickups with machine guns to mess with the Bedouins who live in the south in the, you know, Sahara Desert. Nobody cares. Gaddafi don't care. He don't really care. He got them well under control. Your average Bedouin goat herder probably doesn't give a crap as to whether King Idris or Muammar Gaddafi is in power. It doesn't mean a damn thing to him at all. The fighting is between eastern Libya and western Libya, between the Cyrenia people around Benghazi and the Tripolitans. That's where most of the fighting is concerned. In case, well, I don't know about, you sound like the black Hebrew Israelites. In any case, folks, well, Esau is going down. But right now, Zog is the one that's going down. Right now, it seems like it's the Japanese's turn. And they were not well taken care of by their elites. Their elites decide to just leave these spent nuclear rods just laying around. And now they're adding to the radioactivity. They're adding to the collapse. They're adding to what's going on. Okay, I'm looking now. They say 16,600 plus dead and missing in Japan. And that's according to the Japanese, National Police Agency. So they're able to figure out something like that. How come it is that an earthquake which was 1/700th as strong as the one in Japan, i.e. in Haiti, how come the one in, that was only 7.1 or 2, it killed 200,000 niggers in Haiti, and it's only killed 16,600 plus, it'll probably end up coming around close to 20,000 when it's all said and done, because from my guy, they keep better track of the Japs in Japan than do niggers in Haiti. So how come an earthquake 700 times as big has killed only a fraction, less than a 20th, the size of a bunch of niggers? Answer, well, because the Japs are higher level bipeds here. I certainly don't want to marry none of them, although you can't tell that to the Mormon leaders around here. They end up having a bunch of sons who want to miscegenate with these gooks. And I had one of them go ahead and ask, well, is it sinful to go ahead and marry non-whites? I said, yes, it's sinful to marry non-whites. Heck, Book of Mormon used to say it was sinful to do so. Well, they're Lamanites. I said, no, that ain't what the Book of Mormon says. The American Indians were Lamanites. It didn't say anything about Japanese. But you end up having all these people who have plenty of money and think they're smarter than God doing most of the miscegenating. And then you end up having the lower born Uyghurs doing the same thing. Anyway, folks, I've been ranting and raving for a while. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, have a break for about 10, 15 minutes. And I'll go ahead and check the chat. Go ahead and enjoy me a slice of apple pie. And I'll be back in about 10 to 15 minutes. So hail victory.
Perhaps you might
Like a nigger to me. Okay, folks, this is the next episode or the next installment of the Movement Turd. And the real E.T., well, it's just a gamer. Anyway, I was looking at what's going on about, and one thing I did notice is that you have this question as to whether Obongo is partially responsible for this nuclear problem in Japan. And I'm going to go ahead and put a link to it so y'all can go ahead and look at it. Let's see. It's George Bush's fault? Well, no, but looking at this one thing here, it says from the BBC, the Yomiuri Shimbun newspaper, quoting an official of the ruling Democratic Party of Japan, said the U.S. made the offer immediately after the disaster damaged Fukushima No. 1 nuclear plant. According to the unnamed senior official, U.S. support was based upon dismantling the troubled reactors run by Tokyo Electric Power, TEPCO, some 250 kilometers northeast of Tokyo, 155 miles. However, the government and TEPCO thought the cooling system could be restored by themselves, the report said. He said, this Carl Denzer sent him, is he reading this right? In short, our government demanded the Japanese dismantle, that is, permanently removed over 5 gigawatts of power in order to help them with a critical safety problem that had the potential to destroy 100 square miles of land and kill or injure thousands of people. That is compensation for helping them. We demand that they cripple their electrical generating capacity on a permanent basis. He says, you have to be kidding me. This is an extremely serious charge. If it's true, it stands alone as grounds for impeachment, dismembering every single federal agency involved. Perhaps this explains why the U.S. military and or civil authorities didn't stick a couple of big-ass generators on a transport plane and get them over there, restoring power to the reactors within hours of the incident and avoiding all the serious radiation and physical damage at the plant. This allegation is ridiculously incendiary and demands an immediate and complete congressional investigation. Not only do the citizens of the United States deserve to know the truth or falsity of this charge and who initiated if it is false, but so do the Japanese people.
If this is how this man treats our friends, attempting to use a crisis, threatening the lives of civilians to score a political point and advance his green agenda, it shows a picture of Obongo, New Energy for America. Incidentally, there are reports that the State Department has denied the original story from a Japanese paper. I still argue we need answers, real ones, and an immediate congressional investigation is called for. Now, folks, the Japanese, I believe, their elites have not done a very good job in demanding a more safer nuclear reactors. These reactors were in place ever since the 1970s. In fact, every single one of our reactors is 30-some years old, because from what I gather, there hasn't been any made since shortly before Three Mile Island, and I was reading Jimmy Carter's diary of his presidency around four years, the other night. He had Three Mile Island occur then. And Jimmy Carter was a nuclear submarine officer or something like that, so he understood a little bit about what's going on with these light water reactors. And we haven't built any more nuclear plants. Now, I think that I don't think we need any more nuclear plants here. I think what we need is advanced coal plants, not natural gas plants, not whining about the greenhouse effect, like I said before, in places where there is water, like in Illinois. We could be creating $3 a gallon diesel fuel, gasoline, whatever. We could be creating our own energy stuff in this country. We could be drilling in North Dakota for oil. I don't believe we should use fracking compounds or allow fracking compounds for destroying the water tables. I don't believe that natural gas should be used for just running generators based upon this green fantasy. But it seems like this nigger, if this story is true, this nigger has essentially demanded that the Japanese cripple their electrical power grid in return for coming up with a green alternative. Essentially, the nigger's blackmailing the Japs. Now, is that right? And the answer is no. Because it never does anybody any good to have out-of-control nuclear plants melting down and creating and killing needlessly thousands or even a couple million Japs. Now, that doesn't mean that I love Japanese, but I have no problem with them as long as they're in Japan, where they belong. And they don't have the ability to have lots and lots and lots of coal, so they're going to have nuclear power. But I think as a result of this, they need to develop far more safety features and not allow, essentially, their own people, their own corrupt elites, to take shortcuts with safety. But folks, these generators, if it's true, they should have been there. They should have been pumping fresh water a long time ago instead of letting things get more and more and more and more seriously. If this story is true, the African Kenyan Americwan has a lot of Jap blood on his conscience. Just another stupid nigger doing stupid crap here in order to advance a political agenda, just like the healthcare stuff, to where white people have to pay for niggers and beaners who have no business living in this country, much less having the best of everything and having the white man pay for it. That's the sort of crap that ends up happening. Now, what does this have to do with the movement? Well, I don't know. It has a lot of things to do in that, essentially, our movement, such as it is being more and more persecuted by Zog. We have more and more false fronts. We have more and more people being imprisoned over nothing. That's why, folks, it's better if you stay underground and you stay below the radar altogether. Now, it's said that there'll be a famine in the world. You know, a famine of the word. And, folks, I guess I've sort of helped participate in that famine because I haven't sued the little mamzer yet. But in many cases, it's not meant for Zog to fix things and to make things right and to make sure the white people survive. In fact, Zog is out to destroy us. Just like during the first Zog Babylon, the Rephaim and Nephilim and the people who ran things, they allowed the Adamites to miscegenate with non-whites. Allowed that, you know, allowed that to happen altogether. I was looking over at Spermfront, and you have old Mark Clown, you know, you have old Mark Downey acting like an ass clown. I looked over on VNNF, and you have nothing new about it. Linder is not taking a responsibility. Linder's taking absolutely no responsibility for poor old Joe Snuffy being sent to prison. And you still have Trader Glenn Miller talk about how he's going to send a little bit of Mamzer mites, a little bit to keep old Kevin, you know, Kevin Harpham, and I guess food or something like that. I looked over at Jim Giles, and Jim Giles is interviewing people from my neck of the woods who raise quail. Now, I don't know what that has to do with the movement. I raised a few quail. Quail are relatively easy to raise. They lay little bitty quail eggs. They lay a bigger egg in proportion to their size. If they're Coturnix quail, then hens do. But, and I used to raise a bunch of quail, but I used to have a bunch of trouble with black snakes. They'd crawl in, get in through the 1-inch mesh, and then eat quail, and then they couldn't get out, so I'd kill the black snakes because, hey, can't have them kill my quail. So I used to raise a bunch of quail, and I don't know what Jim Giles, what that has to do with anything. But, Jim Giles, he seems to be sort of busy. And what else is going on in the movement? Well, the biggest thing that's going on in the movement, essentially, is the Kevin Harpham thing. And there ain't anything anybody can do about it. Edgar Steele is supposed to have trial in Spokane on the 26th of April. Not in Spokane, but in Boise. I've told John Britton that it'd be best if he did not attend. And I might go ahead and write a letter telling everybody that Edgar Steele is not and never has been a member of the Aryan Nations. He was just Butler's choice of lawyer. Let's look and see what's going on. White reference. You have Paul Mullet doing some literature drive in Bonita Springs, Florida. They declared April as White Heritage Month. I don't know what the heck that's going to accomplish. They distributed about 700 flyers. I call it a literature drop. L-I-T-T-E-R-A-T-U-R-E. All the Whiggers were all pissed off about it. Sheriff's deputies was called. And why do these evil dark men pick on me, and why did America stop this from happening to your family? Paul Mullet explained that the flyers were intended to spread the ANSP's message of white racial empowerment and recruit prospective new members. Well, good luck on that. Good luck on that. So they've had officials with the Lee County Sheriff's Office said that dropping the information was illegal, but they still took a report, and the gang unit was notified. So it looks like Paul Mullet is doing something other than pretend to be Aryan Nations. He pretend to be a Nazi, and that's fine by me. I really lost interest in Paul Mullet after he dumped Gillette. Let's see. You have Anchorage activist, he's talking about. Essentially, you have 14 comments Some of them pro-mullet. Some of them anti-gullet. Gullet. And I'll go ahead and give a copy of it. So, folks, there ain't really anything much of, you know, really happening in the movement right now. Oh, let's see. I'm going to have to connect. Looks like I got lost here. I got kicked off the TeamSpeak server. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad Wigger Problem is recording. Well, I'm TeamSpeak user. Let me see. I'll go ahead and put that. I was reading about what happened with the mullets and gullets. I probably said huh before too. Let me go ahead and change my nickname. Okay, well maybe you guys can go ahead and tell me about it so I can comment on it. Okay. Oh, it's an inside joke? Well, I guess I must have missed the joke here. Anyway, folks, not much going on in the movement. The biggest thing is pretty well the same thing that's always happened. You have VNNF data mining. You have Four Fag Steebs. Essentially, they're pretty well occasionally remarking, but generally you don't have them doing much of anything. Beer Barrel, I need to go ahead and probably get on it, but first I need to chew ass on HostGator and give them a choice of essentially stop censoring me or face litigation. Crying Brian Rio, why, he's not really doing much of anything right now. He's sort of laying low. Tomorrow, Finkelstein back on misquoting Revelation. Jim Giles, he's interviewing people who raise quail in Southwest Missouri. Downey, he's preaching some nonsense over on Sperm Front. By the way, they were talking about meeting with Eli or James, people in Illinois, and talking about John Gerhardt's book. I didn't know John Gerhardt wrote a book. But talking against miscegenation. Well, folks, if you're going to talk about miscegenation, you ought to talk about the miscegenated, a.k.a. Brian Rio, and Eli isn't going to go ahead and talk about that at all. So, essentially, you just have the movement just being, you know, just being a bunch of retards. I don't know if there's really much of anything as far as the movement going on right now. Sometimes you have a lot of movement, and sometimes you just have, well, hardly anything. Hardly even anything of a bowel movement going on. And right now, other than dropping a little bit of literature and a few other things, there really isn't much going on in the movement, because everybody is probably waiting what's going to happen to Edgar Steele come next month. And poor old Kevin Harpham, he's in trouble. He's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not in Edgar Steele's jail cell, former jail cell, getting to read what's going on under the steel bunk, just on top of him, by himself in camera room. And essentially right now, you don't really have much of anything going on in the bowel movement. Now, I do need to get back on the internet. I need to be back in the saddle again. I need to be able to spread my message. And what is my message? My message is that Zog is falling apart. Zog doesn't have very much of anything going for it. Here in this country, you have essentially just another dreary month in the greatest recession. You have essentially Zog just going through the financial motions as the prices of everything goes up and up and up and up. You don't have anybody minding the store. You don't have anybody paying attention to what's going on. You don't have anybody who really seems to care
one way or the other, really, when it comes down to it. Nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to be minding a store. Nobody seems to know what they are doing at all. And is that normal for Zog? I say, yeah, it probably is normal for Zog. It's what Zog does. Zog does not care for its inherent people. Now, you got to wonder about the Japanese. Did they really care? Did they praise, put corporate profits and, you know, ease of running things above making sure that things went right in a nuclear reactor? And I think that they did. Some of those reactors should have been taken down 10 years ago and replaced with safer designed reactors. No more based upon how things were done 50 years ago, but rather modern reactors, which if nobody is at the trigger, what happens is there are no reactions taking place. You have to actually make the thing run rather than worry about what happens when it gets out of control. And these reactors should have been, these reactors should have been fixed. They should have been replaced. They should have been modernized. In this country, the same thing. These coal-fired plants should be expanded, but what they should be done is run with relatively clean coal, and you should end up having, in this country, coal being turned into diesel and gasoline. You know, essentially strip mined with the topsoil removed and put to a place, and essentially used just like you have over here in Southwest Kansas. You have this place called Minden Mines, and you have these pits where coal was mined. The coal was mined. It's about 60 miles north of here. And now, what are those mines used for? These open-air mines? Well, they didn't put the soil back on the place. What they did is they just let them fill up with water and fill up with bass and, you know, and bluegill, and essentially you go up there to catch good-sized bass. Essentially all they are is just, farm ponds. They're filled with water. The coal is inert. They mined as much as they thought was commercially available. And the strip pits filled with water. And now they're filled with fish. Now is that an environmental way of dealing with it? And the answer is, yes, it is. I mean, those fish taste better than those ones from Oklahoma, which taste sort of like mud. I mean, a Minden Mine fish on the border of Kansas and Missouri tastes perfectly good. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. So, folks, that's what we need to do in this country. We need to actually do, just like the Germans did, and like South Africans did, we need to mine coal. And folks, let's not claim that it's environmentally friendly to destroy the water table by using fracking compounds in there. But folks, what you have is you no longer have white people running it. You have niggers and liberal wiggers who don't know anything about environmentalism or anything about engineering who essentially, we see some black smoke coming out that's not good. Folks, when I was at the nut house, you used to have a little power plant right next door to it, made out of bricks. You used to have a generated power plant which would go ahead and have an electric bill, rather have a nuclear power plant. You used to have a very small coal-fired plant at Fulton. Why can't those be run again? Why in the world can those not be run again? Why can't, when we have a... when we have a landfill, how come we can't just have a piston engine burning methane from the mine generating a small bit of electricity. Why can't we simply understand that, yes, if you have a technological civilization, you end up having to go ahead and use natural materials. But what you do at the same time is you act efficiently. There's nothing wrong in, say, Illinois with building a, you know, a modern new coal-fired plant which generates twice the amount of electricity of the old, of this old one, and only half of that much of the carbon dioxide and other pollutants. What's wrong with setting up an algae farm to create more biodiesel? The answer is there's not, but how in the world do you get there? And the answer, do you get there with niggers? Nope. Do you get there with beaners? Nope. Do you get there with wiggers? Nope. We cannot get where we need to be, where you have 10, maybe 20, maybe 30 million white people, pure white people, essentially living well like the white man does when he's able to have good white government and people who value their society other than being just a bunch of Jews. What happened with Japan is that those nuclear power plants should have been decommissioned and improved 10 years ago, but they weren't. Somebody scraped off the money right off the top and let them things go past their life, and then when you had disaster, they were ready to fall apart. Now, is that good? No. The Japanese, I guess they have a sort of Jap problem. Maybe they have a Jew problem. I don't know. But folks, doing things by halves and doing things stupidly is going to end up leading nothing but disaster. Having the Jew monkey on our back is leading to disaster, but who allows the Jew monkey? Who allows the Mamzer monkey? Who allows the nigger monkey? Who allows the beaner monkey to be among us? The answer is worthless, evil, greedy, stupid, sanctimonious, self-righteous wiggers. Wiggers want to die. Wiggers are like zombies. As long as you have a wigger problem, we will not be able to solve all our other problems. So, folks, I think that should be about it for the live show. I may do another segment. I may not. But, folks, I did go ahead, and looks like we had a, well, not as big as on Talk Shoe, but we did have pretty much most of the regulars who were here. So, for now, I may have another segment, I may not, but for now, we'll just say Hail Victory and good night.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
And if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will take a super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn, when there is no one else who can.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken.
Greetings, Zogling Wigger and Mamzer Ass Clowns, and also Prudent Ned Zog Blaine in the open air coast to coast nut ass we call Zog Babylon, but mainly to the found sheep of the House of Israel, the remnant who will survive the great tribulation which is coming, and which is inevitable, and which is necessary. And these are the ones who I'm really talking to. This is going to be the last segment of the Movement Turd, episode number 61.5, called Parasitic and Predatory Elites and Their Human or Humamzer Herd Animals. Now, I'm going to go ahead and finish talking about my favorite white nationalist author, Lothrop Stoddard, who in 1922 wrote what I think is his masterpiece, color against white world civilization, although he did write that. And in that book, he explained why the white races should not have opened up China, should not have exploited China, and should not have insisted the Japanese put aside their feudal ways for a way of life which suited them, to where they lived by themselves in xenophobic bliss, so to speak, and that their elites pretty well dominated them and set to where they could have their own culture. But rather, in 1859, Commodore Perry forced open Japan. Now, he should have sat and just simply instructed the Japanese that American shipwrecked sailors were to be quarantined but treated correctly, and then every so often that a United States trade ship or something like that would show up. And as a result, the Japanese found out that they could no longer live in isolation because of the Western world, which was impinging on them. They seen what happened to China and how the Jews, like the Sassoons, had forced open the opium trade and number of evils upon the Chinese. And the Japanese decided that they would not be treated that way, and as a result, they modernized. They went to war against Germany in the First World War, picked up a number of provinces, invaded China, and were forced by Franklin Delano Roosevelt to fight for their very survival. And as a result of that war, they pretty well got creamed by the white man. The white man showed that he was superior in terms of making war, and also superior in terms of numbers and technological progress. So, under Douglas MacArthur, he set up a system upon the Japanese people, but they stuck with their old system of aristocracy, of caste, to where nowadays you have, or you had, a number of these big trading companies, trading combines. And the bad part about it is some of them, their aristocracy has not done the best for the Japanese people. In the, you know, in the case of the Tokyo Electric and Power, TEPCO, they have done a very good, bad job of keeping up the design, the Western design of these light water reactors, and brought them all close together. And according to Carl Denninger, they had about a day or so to make sure that they had plenty of water for these reactors. And as a result, you have some, quite a bit of radiological leakage. Not quite as bad as Chernobyl, but far, far more deadly than Three Mile Island. And the Japanese are finding out that their milk and their spinach and a number of their food crops are now contaminated with radiation. A portion, perhaps an eighth of their landmass, is going to be contaminated by nuclear radiation. And they should have deactivated a number of these reactors and spread them out far more, as opposed to having one, two, three, and four within a short distance, to where if one of them goes bad, the radiation will prevent them from fixing the other ones which go bad. So what they've had is they've had a cascade failure caused by not decommissioning old plants, and also by putting all their eggs in one particular basket. Now, they have learned a number of things, but it's been learned the hard way. And you got to realize that even a racist or xenophobic people who, like the Japanese, who are taking the part, and here's that bitch, that Catholic cock licker, you know, cock teaser, Patrick Buchanan, who who went ahead and denounced me for racism back in 2000 when I was running as a Reform Party candidate in Missouri. And essentially, I went ahead and repeated that I would follow what Patrick Buchanan announced as good policy. Lessen the amount of beaners coming in and stop giving special treatment to niggers. But no, Patrick, you know, Pat Buchanan was a whore, and he wanted to collect $12.5 million. So he chose a nigger running bait. He got the $12.5 million and then another, $1 million or so. And I was at the 2001 fiasco where the Buchananites got their wish and did what Buchanan said he wouldn't do, changed the party platform and abused the state political parties, most particularly the ones from Missouri and the ones from California. I was a part of the Missouri delegation. I, unlike most of these people who brought somebody there, was actually elected, as was my then friend, Dr. Keller. But that was a party in and of itself. You have Pat Buchanan, who's just simply a lying whore who has prostituted himself as a journalist or as a prostitute for a long amount of time, and here he was playing Reform Party presidential candidate. And he did the same thing to the Republicans in Missouri who had elected him. He went ahead and sold them out at San Antonio. So a lot of people said, "Hey, I told you so, Martin. Pat Buchanan is just nothing more than just a prostitute. He's a Catholic cocktease. He's a liar. He's just a little politician, the rest of the stuff." And you go ahead and look at him on MSNBC. He's their little gilded hybrid nigger Catholic cornholer who plays at being racist. And you have a bunch of stupid people who believe this stupid crap. And you know, like Star over on VNNF/Warfags Feeds. But getting on, even the Japanese have suffered, pretty well having an elite that has declined in abilities, in foresight, in a number of things. And from what I gather, the current Prime Minister of Japan is viewed as pretty well an idiot, a feeb. And here they have a crisis, and the crisis was caused by the fact that these nuclear power plants, some of these old ones, should have been decommissioned a long time ago. They should have had more advanced building of newer, safer reactors. They should have been able to spread them out. And in a previous time, I went ahead and pointed out about how in this country we need to get over the lies about dirty coal and green nonsense and all this sort of thing, and deal with building more advanced, cleaner coal for energy, and also to turn our coal into diesel and gasoline. And meanwhile, while we do that in places like Illinois, where you have plenty of coal, where you have also enough water to grow algae farms to create biodiesel, we can deal with the fact where we can create what we need. Now, we can't go ahead and keep it up if, like China or India, we're taking every single mud that comes across. And since we're determined to come across, this solution is not sustainable at all. Unlike Japan, which is essentially understanding that they can only maintain a certain amount of people. And they're choosing not to bring in even Koreans, much less niggers, beaners, and the rest of the third world into their homeland. They're choosing to essentially keep Japan for the Japanese, which is a admirable and wonderful, as far as racially hygienic solution. They are choosing to understand that, yes, their country is in a little bit of a sustained decline. Now, one thing that they should not have done is that they should have let these banks, 20 years ago, when they got overreached, when the Tokyo market, essentially the land in Tokyo, was worth more than the entire continent of the continental United States between the Atlantic and Pacific, where there was a bubble, they should have let whoever speculated in that bubble go bankrupt, took their licks just like the people of Iceland did, and moved on. Just gone ahead and regrown economically. But what they also should have done, like I pointed out, is that they should have understood they do not have coal. They do not have oil. They do not have natural gas. They only had the choice of using electrical power. Now, if you go ahead and look at now that about, a sixth of the electrical power, the Tokyo skylight is not near as bright. You end up having some rolling blackouts in some cases. And what they're doing is that they are essentially allocating power so that nobody really suffers. They just put out a little bit. And the Japanese are dealing with it far better than Zogling Uyghurs would have been able to deal with it. You end up having something happen like that, it'd have been like worse than New Orleans, worse than a flood of Houston. You would have had rioting niggers, rioting beaners, Uyghurs going mad, and you would have had a race war, and you would have had a lot of bad stuff happen. But instead, the Japanese are a rather disciplined people. But still, were they served well by their leadership? The answer is no, they weren't. They should have rebuilt a good many of their nuclear power plants. They would have had to use nuclear energy. They should have made them safer. They should have spread them out more. They should have probably built berms around, they already had something for earthquakes. They should have built berms so that the tidal wave would not have affected them so badly. They should have done a number of things that they did not do. Now, after the fact, perhaps they will learn how to do certain things. But no, where the Japanese people served well by their elites? And the answer is no. Now, are the American people, and I talk about Uyghurs, are they served well by their Jew and Shabbos Uyghur rulers? And the answer is no. Their Jew and Shabbos Uyghur rulers actually want to exterminate the Uyghurs. And if you've listened to a number of times when Uyghurs get on, Uyghurs are like zombies. They want to go ahead and destroy each other. They want to die. And they do stupid crap in order to do it. They do. In fact, your average Uyghur is sanctimonious, stupid, greedy, grasping, without much in the way of morals. And in many cases, they have been underbred. And what little remains that's good of them has been sent to the Uyghur factory, the pubic school system, and turned into bigger idiots. And now you have the pubic schools, you have the politicians and the rest whining that they don't have enough money to go about business as usual, and that there is a decline in living standards among the political class and among the, quote, elites and the rest of the drooling Uyghurs and morons. And folks, I'm going to go ahead and cover Lothrop Stoddard's book, his masterpiece, because I think it's his masterpiece because it covers what happens not as relationship to what the white man does to the other races or how we should treat the other races, but what happens in a white man's civilization when our civilization is falling apart. And Lothrop Stoddard seen it in 1920, 1921, 1922, and he wrote his masterpiece, The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman. And Lothrop Stoddard said is that these civilizations, our civilization, is falling apart That's falling apart for three reasons. The first reason is that civilization requires far more of a population than does barbarism or savagery. But the problem is that the human element, the bearers of civilizations, the civilization can also be a crushing burden because it requires living together and it requires far more in the amount of intelligence and in the result in morality, and the population does not improve. In fact, civilization allows what should have died to live. So he points out the second burden is that civilization broadens at the base among the uncivilized, the uncivilizable, the ones who can't quite make it, while your higher element, because it has power, has fewer children. So that civilization kills the best stock at the top and lets the offal at the bottom breed out of control. And then the third portion, which is the basis of Lothlestar's book, is called The Revolt Against Civilization, the Menace of the Underman, is that you have the Undermen. And Lothlestar talked about Jews, mainly Bolsheviks, who were the revolt against white Western civilization. And how the Jews, these Bolshevik Jews, had destroyed a chaotic, declining, Swedish, a neo-Swedish aristocracy, which had essentially sunk into Asiatic stupidity, had become underbred, and as a result, Jews took over. Now, my hero, Felix Dzerzhinsky, was not a Jew. He was a Tatar Cossack who was imported as Uhlans for the Polish cavalry. And Felix Dzerzhinsky did side with the Jews, and he did dissolve these corrupt police all the way from the local pig all the way up to the Tsar. And he dealt with them, and he safeguarded the Russian Revolution. Now, is the Russian Revolution a burden? Was it bad for the Russian people, what little whites, even though they had a good deal of Mamzer in them? And the answer is yes, it was. But on the other hand, being stupid, being weak, being idiotic is a surefire invitation to be exterminated by the Underman. And that is what happened in Russia. And that is what is happening in this country. As the niggers and the beaners are invading us, and as they look at it, we're putas because we let them steal us blind. And we let them come into this country and we feed them while they breed and breed and breed and breed. Folks, there is no solution to what ails, not clean coal, not nuclear power, not mythological, being able to use solar panels or anything like that, because if you're not building any power plants, but yet the population goes from when I was young, from 200 million or so to over 300 million, it doubles. It nearly doubles in the time that I've been alive, and it will possibly triple the way things are going. And right now, since 2000, the majority of kindergarten children are non-white, beaners, niggers, gooks, whatever, mixed race. As a result, this will no longer be a white man's land. This will no longer be a white country. And since it's no longer Christian Israel, no longer non-Christian Israel, it's no longer made up of white people, we will be turned into slaves and we will be ground up in many cases just because Uyghurs allow that to happen. I point out in a different show that if Uyghurs were passenger pigeons, the passenger pigeons would collude in their own extermination, their own extinction. If the Uyghurs were buffalo, they say, well, we got millions and millions and millions of us buffalo. We'll never become extinct. And guess what? We're gonna collude with the Jews. I mean, the buffalo hunters. Oh, no, no, no. We'll go ahead because this other buffalo, why, he's just a buffalo. He doesn't have higher Jew thoughts. And that's what Uyghurs do. They collude in their own extermination. Now, Lothar Stoddard, in 1922, he was a eugenicist, along with Madison Grant and Margaret Sanger. They helped pass the 1924 Immigration Act to make sure that Southern Europeans and Eastern Europeans and Jews would not be coming to this country, because they set up a quota system to where if you're from England, fine, come on in. You're from Norway, fine, come on in. Sweden, fine, come on in. Germany, fine, come on in. Poland, well, you have a quota. Italy, well, we have a quota. Jews, we have a quota. No more Emma Goodman, no more socialistic Jews shooting down our presidents. No more red hysteria, because no more reds. And that was a good policy until Ted the Swimmer Kennedy helped overturn it in 1965, lying like a dog, just like the Federalists, that, oh, it wouldn't change the ethnic composition of America. The 1924 law was a racist law meant to make sure that what had already happened, we closed the door to immigration. Now, in his last chapter, Lothar Stoddard believes in eugenics, as opposed to the Edwards family. And he'll talk about lawyers and the rest. I have no use for lawyers. I think that they are worse than the Jukes family. And the Jukes and the Kallikak family, who were a bunch of criminals, a bunch of idiots, a bunch of paupers, a bunch of the lowest form of Uyghur. The Jukes and the Kallikaks. He's talking about intelligence. You know, chapter 1, The Burden of Civilization, about how civilization is a blessing, but it's also a burden. And you need to have people who are able to maintain a civilization. I've already covered what Lothar Stoddard said here, but he is mainly concerned about item number 3, but he's also concerned about item number 1 and 2. That the burden is getting heavier, but the people able to carry that burden of civilization, we're getting dumber, we're getting more immoral, we're getting more chaotic. Chapter 2 was the Iron Law of Inequality, where he discussed IQ matters. The first mass IQ test was used by the United States Army in 1917 in order to decide who should be an officer. Chapter 3, The Nemesis of the Inferior. Chapter 4, The Lure of the Primitive, where they're talking about the French and the Russian Revolution. Chapter 5, The Groundswell of Revolt, more about the Bolshevik Revolution. Chapter 6, The Rebellion of the Underman. Chapter 7, The War Against Chaos, How to Start Doing It. And then Chapter 8, Neo-Aristocracy. Now, folks, an aristocracy is, it comes from Aris or something like that, which meant rule by the best men. The most moral, the most intelligent, the ones who have the best foresight, the most self-discipline. And you have democracy, which claims that everyone is equal. Every little idiot is equal. And not only every idiot equal, the nigger is your equal. In fact, today the nigger is your superior. The beaner, who essentially comes here just to take whatever he can, the gook, the rest, come to take the American dream and take it away from white people, because they both fear and hate white people. And what Uyghurs have done is that they've removed the fear of the white man, but they never could do anything about the hatred. If it's up to me, I would put a Uyghur in a cage full of syphilitic niggers, his equals, and let him deal with it. But folks, democracy is a notion that everyone is equal and therefore has an equal voice in what we should do, even though these people are not able to maintain this civilization. And if left up to you, they would sell you out in a minute. And we see this even in my own families. We see people who are marrying niggers and beaners who want to essentially get down on you for racism, who you cannot trust, who, if things go bad, the only thing you can do for your own salvation is make sure that they are dead, to shoot them yourself. Now, Lothar Stoddard, his Neo-Aristocracy in Chapter 8, said we need to come up, not with an aristocracy, and like he says in page 262, the eugenic ideal is seen as an ever-perfecting super race, not the Superman of Nietzsche, that brilliant yet baleful vision of a master caste, blooming like a gorgeous but parasitic orchid upon a rotting trunk of servile degradation, but a super race cleansing itself throughout by the elimination of its defects and raising itself throughout by the cultivation of its qualities. You see, Lothar Stoddard was a racist. He was a eugenicist. He believed that we need to improve the entire race. He's not talking about setting up a dictatorship, an aristocratic dictatorship. Rather, he was talking about improving the race through eugenics. Now, He goes on and points out that democracy is just nothing more than a fetish. It's just nothing more than essentially silliness. It's based upon, just like the Bolshevik Jew who did not like biology. And I've already talked in some cases about Lyshenko as opposed to Mendeleev, who did the actual work. But Lyshenko actually believed that you could train, you could edumacate wheat to sprout in a Siberian snowbank. And as a result of that, the Soviet Union went from being a breadbasket under Tsarist times to a net importer of grain. Now, Stalin liked it because Lyshenko was politically correct. He's sort of like all these here little green activists and these global warming idiots who lie and lie and lie about global warming and all this sort of thing. Now, folks, I've already told about how you could sequester in certain places, like Illinois, wouldn't have to dig up coal, wouldn't have to transfer it very far. You would transfer electrical power. You would transfer the finished products of gasoline and diesel by using the coal, and at the same time where you have plenty of water, you would, at the same time, create algae farms. And folks, there's nothing wrong with using coal. Certainly not if you have a ability to raise green things like algae. And then get both sides. But folks, that requires thinking. That requires an ability to think that I don't think we no longer have. Now, Lothar Stoddard was talking about positive eugenics. He was talking about essentially having discipline, having foresight. This show is not about positive eugenics. This show pretty well says is that we're fucked. That as a result, we're going to have a great tribulation. We're going to have a race war. We're going to have a social collapse. We're going to have a financial collapse. We're going to have a war each against all. And the end result is not positive eugenics, but the most vicious and the most chaotic and the most thoroughgoing negative eugenics program through civil war, through destruction, through death on a massive scale. And folks, I'm putting my money on the Great Tribulation. I'm pretty well saying that that is inevitable. There is not, the only neo-aristocracy that I see coming is not through positive eugenics like Lothar Stoddard said. but rather through negative eugenics, to where what you have is 10,000 warlords ruling over 10 million whites, exterminating every regime criminal, every policeman, every lawyer, every teacher, everyone else. And unlike Pol Pot, when he exterminated half the Cambodian population. And folks, from what I gather, there's no shortage of Cambodians. They're still living around. Pol Pot's plan essentially didn't work because, well, you just had a whole bunch of gooks re-screwing. All they had to do was wait less than, 9 months or so, and the population would have gone back up. Folks, I have a totally different view, and not coincidentally, my view is one shared. If you go ahead and look at the Bible, especially if you read Daniel and you read Revelations, not the papist preterism horseshit of Rabbi Finkelschini, not the idiotic crap of rereading Howard Rand, a one seed liner, in the case of Elier, Joseph, Cuts, November, James, but rather reading the Bible as it's understood. Folks, Yahweh does not like Mamzers. Yahweh does not like worthless wiggers. If you don't believe me, you ought to read the Bible yourself. In case of Matthew 15, verse 13, every single plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. And not only rooted, uprooted. The branches, the trunk, the roots, and the tender twigs shall be broken, burnt, and done away with, to where there shall be nothing left. Nothing left to resurrect. Nothing left to worry about. Folks, my vision is a grim one. Understand that. And folks, once you understand that, what you should do is pray to Yahweh that you are not one of the people who are uprooted, who are not culled. Rather than worry about what the bowel movement is doing and thinking there's a political solution, like even someone like me idiotically thought from 1994 to 1996, there is no political solution. Zog is out to fuck you up. Zog is out to destroy you. Because the ones who are ruling now share the same vision as Cain, Satan's son, Nimrod, who is Cush's son from Ham, who had a crush on little Semiramis, who was a Tubal-Cainite bitch. Folks, Nimrod and Babylon had the same thing of putting the white man underneath the thumb of the Jew. And when they had them under the thumb, breeding out, miscegenating out all the population and destroying Yahweh's plan of having Adamites, of having Noahites, of having Shemites, of having Abrahamites, of Isaacites, and Jacob Israelites, to go ahead and populate both heaven and this earth. But folks, the reason we have Jews, around is to make sure that your average Wigger drone doesn't make it. The Jew is there to predate upon the Wigger. The Jew is, of course, trying to destroy us, the Adamite. And that has been the plan under the first Zog Babylon in Noah's day, the second Zog Babylon under Nimrod's day, and the rest of it ever since the days of Cain, 7,000 years ago. We have had the Jew with us always, and the Jew has been out to destroy us. And every single one, if you're a white man, it is because your ancestor, once he found out what was going on, resisted it. And kept you from being a Jew. Kept you from being a Mamzer. Now, is the white race doomed? The answer is no. The white race is about to simply purge itself. And Yahweh will bring this purge. You see, Yahweh gave us the birthright. And we took this birthright and we wasted it, we spent it, and we gave it out to everybody except our own. And we were not good stewards of it. Any more than Esau was a good steward. Esau had the birthright. But he went ahead and chose to find some good Canaanite pussy, some good Hivite pussy. And when people say, well, he got cheated of it by a supplanter, Jacob, the answer is no. Esau had already discarded it. So too have your average Uyghurs discarded the birthright that Yahweh gave them. And Yahweh did give them the birthright. And guess what? Our Uyghur fathers, Uyghur grandfathers, our Uyghur great-grandfathers, and us have wasted that birthright and given away rather than to our sons. We have chosen to give it away to every non-white, every Jew, and pretty well say that what is good, i.e. loving your own kind, loving your own brother, is evil. And what is evil? Giving it away to the dogs of this world. Like Jesus Christ said, he called some women. He called one Canaanite woman, she called her a dog. He said, I am not sent to the Samaritans. I am not sent to the Jews. I am not sent to anyone other than the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So folks, let's understand that. Now folks, these non-whites who live in their own land, live in the boundaries that Yahweh gave to them, they are not evil. They are just simply what they are. And as a result, they do not deserve to be exploited. They do not deserve to be cheated. They need to be treated with respect as long as they stay in their own bounds. And that's why I do not have any hatred for the Japanese. I don't even have any hatred for niggers in Africa. Don't have any hatred for beaners in Venezuela. But I do have nothing but hatred for those who have come to steal and to take that which is ours. But most of all, I have hatred for the Uyghur. Do I have hatred for the Jews? Well, yes, of course. Genesis 3:15, they are the spawn of Satan. There is no such thing as a good Jew. That's why I can't make peace even with a urbane, genial sneak like Eli James / Joseph Cuts November. And I certainly have nothing but contempt and hatred and despise Big Nose Bill Fink, the Jersey City Jew boy. I've had to laugh. I laughed and laughed and laughed when you end up having Uyghurs and Mamzers like Dan Johns or Warren Witherspoon or whatever the hell's name is. All these Mamzers run in from one talk show to the other. Do I have hatred for Brian Reel? A dirty little Jew, nigger, gook, faggot, Mamzer, golem? Well, yes, of course. This is as evil an abomination as lived, and it should have been tore apart when it first started shrieking out its hatred for the white man. When it appeared, like an alien, out of its red nigger mama, Kathy Jean Berenger, Rio's evil twat. This creature is evil, and it understands Genesis 3:15. It never fooled me for a minute. But folks, what we have is we have a Uyghur problem. In my own family, I have a bunch of Uyghurs. Can't trust them. They do stupid shit. They run to and fro. If you rely on them, they are worse than there's nothing worse than your own family if it's Uyghurs. Didn't Jesus Christ say in Matthew 10 verse 36 that a man's enemy shall be they of his own household? That son will lift up his hand against fathers and the fathers against their sons, the daughters against their mothers, brother against brother? And that's what I have in my own family. And folks, I feel for you. I have heard a number of people talk about what worthless wiggers they have. And folks, the man, you know, the person that I'm closest to, who I regard as a brother, is not a biological brother of mine at all. I've never met him face to face. But folks, there are friends and allies who are white men. And my friends are white men. Now, in many cases, they've had a number of failings, that they were not able to see, that I've seen very well. Doubtless, just as I have a number of faults and failings that I am not able to see, and that they see so very well. In many cases, I'm not quite sure if it's failing at all on my part. But maybe it is, maybe it ain't. We all have our weaknesses. But folks, what I urge you to do, if you're a white man listening to my voice, is stay away from this bowel movement. Stay away from running around in a stupid little uniform. Stay away from putting out literature for wiggers. Stop painting a target on your back. Stay alert and stay alive. And stay under the radar. Folks, that's why I've come up with what I believe the 10,000 Warlords program, because I don't believe that we have an overall Adolf Hitler. I do believe we have hard men who are able to see your local pig and understand that these pigs need to die. And any wigger that supports them needs to die too. That these teachers who have destroyed our children, destroyed our children's minds, and destroyed our children's characters, they need to die. These psychiatrists and these doctors who have poisoned our people for profit. These Baal priests who, just like the Pharisees, have seen the door, but they will not go in, but neither will they let anybody else go in. They need to die too. Folks, just like you have 10 million white men, but first, 130 million Uyghurs and 160 million Muds need to die. Can any one white man keep control over 13 Uyghurs? Or over 19 Muds? Folks, most of us have daughters, children, brothers, sisters, in-laws, that we cannot control. Much less somebody else's Uyghur, or Mamzer, or rest. So, since you, none of you are built-in Napoleons. None of you are built-in Hitlers. What you can do is that you can use this collapse to make sure that those who are causing the trouble die. That they die and they die and they die. And when, like in Jeremiah chapter 16, you have everyone, men, women, children, old and young, laying out as food for the dogs and the birds, you are not to shed a tear for them, because they are the ones who brought about what was necessary. They are the children of evil. And it says that the cities of evildoers will not spread upon the plain, will not spread across the earth. And folks, one thing you need to understand is that this character claims to be Christian identity, dual seed line Christian identity, and he's not. He's not white. He's a Jew. He's a Mamzer. He allows Mamzers and Jews to run wild. Folks, just like Ezekiel chapter 9, the sword of the faithful, the sword of Yahweh's elect, the sword of those who Yahweh has sent, the killing starts among the Baal priests who claim to be of Yahweh's house. Let's start, like Yahweh said, in my house first, and then go through the rest of Jerusalem. Don't blame me? Well, go ahead and read Ezekiel chapter 9. Seems like a rather grim forecast of what is going. Folks, the vast majority of prophecy has not been fulfilled. Don't listen to papist preterists like Finkelstein or Eli or James, who said the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in the pit from 500 to 1500, when, guess what? The Roman Catholic Church wasn't able to tell the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Vandals, the Gepids, the Lombards, the Heruli, or the Huns what to do. And they're going to go ahead and tell Satan what to do. Folks, this papist preterist horseshit is just that. Horseshit. And when they call the understood order of things, that first you have a great tribulation, then you have Christ's second coming, then you have Satan unbound, and then you have the great day of judgment, and not the great judgment for creatures outside Yahweh's law. Yahweh is not a universalist. Yahweh has nothing, as far as I know of, to say in the Bible to the Negro beasts of the field, or to the Chinks, or the Gooks, or the Redskins, or anybody else here, but only to the, well, lost sheep of the house of Israel, but I'm talking mainly to the found sheep of the house of Israel, those who know who they are and what their purpose in life is to do, to be, and who are what they are supposed to be. The rest of you will just view me as a lunatic, a half-bearded lunatic. And, folks, I've had fun, dealing or having humor with those who make sport of me, especially Obagender Bender Pisser Pushter Possum, Liar Bill / Mumps Nuts the Clueless, Brian Real / Sword Mazer / Sword Brother, Eliar James, Rabbi Big Nose Finkelstein, and the rest of these tards. And I look at them moving back and forth. And folks, there may very well be a shortage of the word. But folks, the word and the law is written in your hearts, and you can read it for yourself. You know how to act. You don't pretend to be something. You are something. And as a result, on occasion, you will download what I have to say. And some of you will listen to what I have to say, and it'll just go down your back like water from a duck. You have people playing and playing and playing around at being something that they are not. And all you should do is just laugh at it and truck on and to move on. So folks, things will get better. But first they will get very, 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 very much worse. And your job is to make sure that you and yours, those who you have responsibility over, not those who are at variance with Yahweh, not those who have no part among us, those who are traitors and the rest, let the great tribulation have them. Let these tares be bundled up by either Yahweh's angels or, more than likely, by the force of circumstance as it unfolds. Let these tares be burnt, and do not shed a tear, but rather quietly enjoy it as Yahweh's will, as Yahweh's design unfolds. But your job is to make sure that you are right with Yahweh. Your job is, insofar as possible, make sure that your children are right with Yahweh. Your wife is right with Yahweh. Your husband's right with Yahweh. And while you cannot do what other people say, it is written somewhere, I forget where, that in these end times, even if Noah, Shem, and Moses were alive today, they would save only themselves. They would save only themselves. Not the husband, not wife, not children, no one but themselves. But it's your job to obey Yahweh, to understand Yahweh's will, to listen to what is written on your heart. And when Yahweh says that the evildoers must be punished and that they must be destroyed, destroy them absolutely. We cannot have any solution until 9 out of 10 Uyghurs are dead. And only 1 out of 10 ex-Uyghurs become white men. And they do what needs to be done. And folks, once we get our act together, once we get our head together, we will go through these tears like a hot knife, like a hot sword, like a hot bullet through butter. Don't doubt it for a minute. our side is going to win. Our race will prevail. And we shall overcome. So folks, this is the latest episode of the Movement Turd. I'm going to have it out. I'm going to go ahead and put it together right now. And I'm going to finish off with Florian Geyer. And folks, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. And good night or good day. Hail victory.
Corn outlaws, let red blood flow.